And now, another one of our favorite people. I love her, and you do too, everybody. If you say you don't love her, it's because you haven't met her. Everybody loves the one young lady that's going to share her thoughts with us tonight, and that's our Lindy.
I love her too. She loved me first. You know, the first page of this talk I just decided to throw out. There are 525,600 seconds in a year. There are 1,440 seconds in a day. I spend approximately 170,000 seconds a year sleeping. Approximately 170,000 seconds a year working. Approximately 160,000 seconds in a year playing bubble pop. And 25,600 at church. Last night I played bubble pop in the middle of the night. I slept from 10 to 12 and then woke up and played bubble pop. It's a sickness. But I'm not here to talk about bubble pop. I'm here to talk about balance, sort of. I'm very experienced in lack of balance. But you know, there's a sameness to every day. Every day I wake up, I go to work, I come home, I play bubble pop, I go back to sleep. Or some days I go to church, and then I play bubble pop, and then I go to sleep. But you see the point. The days kind of run together as if they were all the same. And it's very difficult to find meaning in a life where the days all run together. There's actually a holiday that's devoted to days being the same and running together. And it was just over a month ago, Groundhog Day. Now, it isn't the holiday Groundhog Day per se that makes it celebratory of the days running together. But just a little background into the holiday of Groundhog Day. It's February 2nd. It's celebrated in the U.S. and Canada, and it's a folklore holiday where the creature, theoretically a groundhog, but it could be a farrier or a ferret or any other creepy crawly, comes out of its burrow, and if it sees its shadow, then there are going to be weeks. So feature this. If it's sunny on the day that the groundhog comes out of its burrow, there are going to be 6 more weeks of winter. If it's not sunny, spring will come. Well, I'm not buying that, personally. But anyway, it's been a custom since the Pennsylvania Germans in Pennsylvania in the 18th and 19th century. Oh, it was a badger or a bear or a groundhog. And it also bears similarities to the Celtic holiday of Imbolc, which is celebrated on February the 1st, the beginning of the weather prognostication season, I guess. Anyway, the largest real Groundhog Day celebration is held in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, not too far from Pittsburgh. And as many as 40,000 people can gather to see Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, emerge from his little hut and either see his shadow or not. But this is not why we celebrate the days running together and being all the same on February the 2nd. The reason for that is the movie of the name Groundhog Day, which came out in 1993 and was set in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, actually, and celebrated the emergence of Punxsutawney Phil from his little hut. And in that movie, he did, in fact, see his shadow, there being 6 more weeks of winter. But what that movie is about is not just the holiday of that name. It's truly a wonderful movie. And how many of you have not seen Groundhog Day? Okay, so 90% of the people in the room have seen the movie. I don't know if you know it, but when that movie came out, spiritual people of all faiths responded to it in a positive manner. The yogis and the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Orthodox Jews all sent communications to the director, the writer, and the producer to say, what a wonderful film you've made for our faith. So obviously it crosses the boundaries of religious practice. But it was added to the United States National Film Registry as being deemed culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant in 2006. The Internet Movie Database, IMDb, says it's the 177th most popular movie as of Groundhog Day 2009. So just over a year ago, it was 177th most popular among all the movies in the IMDb. And in the special features in the 15th anniversary edition of the DVD, which is what I was doing from 10 to midnight last night, snoozing through Groundhog Day on the DVD player, they discussed the popularity of the film and could not exactly account for its appeal to so many different spiritual groups. But I have my theory. Now, if you've seen the movie, you know that it's about a news weather reporter named Phil, played by Bill Murray, who is arrogant, sarcastic, uppity, mean, rude, and otherwise a jerk with a capital J. He's our hero. Tom Hanks was originally scheduled to play that role, and Tom Hanks talked back to the writer after Bill Murray was finally cast and said, you know, it's absolutely right that it's not me and that it's Bill Murray, because nobody would believe that I could be that mean, and he is. So Bill Murray, in the midst of trying to, enter a relationship with the producer, played by Andy McDowell, is also trying to get out of Punxsutawney as fast as possible. And he's staying in a bed and breakfast there in town in order to see the groundhog, also named Phil, emerge from his little hut at 7:30 a.m. on February the 2nd. So Phil, the news weather reporter, arrives at the little hut and watches Phil, the groundhog, emerge. And the story goes from there, because the next morning, Phil's alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, and the same chatter is on the radio, and the same news vans are in the streets, and the same people encounter him on his way to the groundhog site, and he realizes it's Groundhog Day all over again. It's February the 2nd, and all the same things are happening to him again as happened to him yesterday. And the story goes on from there, and the same things happen to him the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. And the writer in the feature on the DVD suggests that he thought, in his mind, when he wrote the story, that Phil would be in Groundhog Day, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, for over 10,000 days. This is not a trivial occurrence to be repeating the same day of your life. Every day, every day, every day. But how many of us do it already? How many of us are repeating the same day of our life again and again and again? Sleeping, working, and playing bubble pop. Or whatever your drug of choice may be. But during the course of these 10,000 days, or however many they really are, Phil gets some sensibilities about his life. He spends a good portion of time pitching cards into a hat until he gets so good at it that that game is boring. He spends a good portion of his time trying to kill himself when he discovers that he's there forever, or what feels like forever. He takes the groundhog with him on a couple of these excursions. He figures if he's going to go, he wants Phil the groundhog to go with him. And he spends a great deal of time trying to enter a relationship with the producer, Andy McDowell, because every morning of every day, she is there with the same sensibilities about him as he had about her on the original first Groundhog Day, while he is growing and changing. Now, there are three words that the writer uses to describe the growth and change of the character Phil, Bill Murray. He says you have to have the desire, the courage, and the energy to change. It's kind of like an old light bulb joke. You know, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? One, but the light bulb has to have the desire, the courage, and the energy to change. Okay. So apart from the absolute pleasure and enjoyment that we get from watching this movie, what are the lessons that make it such a spiritual film that it's embraced by people of religions all around the world? Well, in the first place, it speaks to the concept of do-overs. Now, some of us believe in reincarnation, and therefore we get to do over lives. But in Phil's case, he gets to do over his life every day. The same life every day, every day, every day. And as Santayana said, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. So if he didn't know what happened yesterday, he'd be doing the same life tomorrow as he was doing today. Or something like that. Sherry Carter Scott, in her book, If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules. Rule number 6, lessons are repeated until learned. That's heavy, but it's also very true. We have to learn the lesson before we can move on beyond it. Skiing was the hardest thing I ever had to do. The first day I skied, I flunked out of ski school and was told by the instructor to ride down the lift. I then was placed in remedial ski school with people who were intellectually, emotionally, or physically challenged. At that point, I was all three. Amy Grant in this wonderful song says, "Some lessons hurt to learn. Skiing hurt me to learn it." I stood at the top of a run called Payday in Park City, Utah, and decided I never wanted to earn another dollar in my life. I skied down that one, sort of, if you call sliding on your back as far as possible skiing, but I did it. Life teaches some hard lessons. Love, relationships teach the hardest ones. But that doesn't mean we don't keep doing it. So Bill Murray kept trying to enter a relationship with Annie McDowell. Every day he interacted with her in a slightly different way, sort of the way that an airplane flies from San Francisco to Tokyo, with thousands of tiny course corrections along the way. Bill Murray entered into a relationship with Annie McDowell with thousands of tiny course corrections along the way. That's the only way relationships can work. We don't get to rewind our life in the same manner that Bill Murray does in the movie, but we can do something over. If we break something in a relationship, we can go back and repair it. It takes desire, courage, and energy to change, but we can do it, and we can do it over by choice. The second lesson of the story is the lesson of an attitude of gratitude. From killing himself over and over again and wasting his life pitching cards and things of that nature, he starts to get the fact that people are falling out of trees around him or are dying of starvation and hypothermia. And he takes a different tack to those people as the 10,000 days wear on. So rather than just ignoring the child who's falling out of a tree as he's walking down the sidewalk, he runs to catch the child because he knows the exact time from the first 999,000 days or whatever. And he catches the child so the child is uninjured. Instead of ignoring the beggar, the poor man who has no food, no money, and no warmth in the winter in Pennsylvania, he takes the man to the hospital and makes sure that he is with food and with protection from the cold. He saves his life. Finally, because the man in many of those days died. So he's learned that life is about caring for others, about being grateful for what we have and reaching out in that gratitude to help others. It's about finding meaning above inertia. Sarah Van Breathnach of Simple Abundance, a wonderful book if you have a lot of time to read it, because she suggests doing things that are not really relevant, but that are meaningful, says, "Gratitude is the most passionate transformative force in the cosmos. And Oprah said, the more you praise and celebrate your life, the more there is in life to praise and celebrate. And thirdly, the biggest lesson of the movie Groundhog Day, the lesson of redemption through love. We all have an opportunity to make our lives different and better by loving. His character, through the course of those thousands of days, figures out that love is what it's all about. He learns to spread love rather than being a mean, arrogant, and all those words I said before, capital J jerk. Grump, curmudgeon, nasty guy. He finds the meaning by giving and spreading love to others. Mother Teresa says, spread love everywhere you go. First of all, in your own house. Give love to your children, to your wife or husband, to a next door neighbor. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Be the living expression of God's kindness. Life is what we make it, always has been, always will be. That's Mother Teresa's counterpart, Grandma Moses. And someone named Megan who is unclear, says, life is a mixture of living and longing, learning and growing, with loving and laughing, filling in the gaps between. So if we can live and long, love and learn, laugh and grow, that's pretty good right there. That takes us from one day to the next, and every day becomes better. People say to me, how are you? And generally I say, great, couldn't be better. But sometimes I say, I'm better than I was yesterday, but not as good as I'll be tomorrow. And sometimes I say, I'm in my happy place. And sometimes I even mean it. Rule number 8 in Sherry Scott's book, If Life is a Game, These Are the Rules, is what you make of your life is up to you. So what is redemption through love? What does that mean? Redemption, from Merriam-Webster online, for the word redeem, is to rescue, to take back, to free from what distresses or harms, to change for the better, to extricate from or help to overcome something detrimental, to atone for, to offset the bad effect of, and my personal favorite, to make worthwhile. So if I'm going to redeem my life through love, I'm going to make it worthwhile. I'm going to cut back on my bubble pop. Because bubble pop, while it's relaxing and entertaining, has very little meaning. It can be meaningful if I say, it's important to me to have a higher score than Andrea or Dee or Fiona. Well, it is, but not that important. Not that important. I said on Sunday, 2 weeks ago, that I would trade the highest bubble pop score in the world for a romantic relationship. And I meant it. But what am I going to do about it if I'm still playing bubble pop? That's not redemption. Redemption is learning how to be in romantic relationship, putting myself out there, testing the waters, bringing the desire, the courage, and the energy of change to bear on romantic relationships. Job was the one in the Bible to speak of redemption. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. How my heart yearns within me. That's Job 19. So what are we willing to do? Are we willing to live our lives full of repetition and boredom with little meaning or none? Are we willing to make the same mistakes that Bill Murray's character makes in the first two-thirds of the movie Groundhog Day? Or are we willing to do what it takes to love and change? I'd like to think that it's the latter rather than the former. Carrie Underwood, without whom this talk would not be complete, has a wonderful song that says, sometimes that mountain you've been climbing is just a grain of sand. What you've been up there searching for is forever, and searching for forever is in your hands. When you figure out that love is all that matters after all, it sure makes everything else seem so small. So, I ask you, what will we do with our 525,600 seconds? Which is a song from the musical Rent, by the way. So not only am I doing country music, I'm doing show tunes tonight. But if you've seen Rent, you know it's a very powerful song. Amanda's nodding her head. 525,600, oh, it's minutes, sorry. I screwed up the whole talk with 525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments so dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a life? How about love? How about love? How about love? Measure in love. And that's the bottom line. Bill Murray got the girl in the end and woke up on February the 3rd at the end of the movie. We can do the same. All we have to do is measure in love. And thank you for this time.